हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करपावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so continuing after the when the physicians came, Duryodhana sent the Brahmins away. He stood for some time in silence looking at the fallen hero. Then, sighing, he and his brothers and all the kings, supporting the Kauravas, circumambulated Bhishma with folded palms. They slowly made their way back to camp, seeing nothing but desolation before them, right? Because desolation, either if they stop the war, then Duryodhana just sees the end of the world because he doesn't control the whole world. Or then now with the battle is, then now how will they do? Because you have Drona, he's a great fighter, but if they kill Bhishma, there's a possibility they could kill Drona also. And Karna is less than them, so naturally he's on the cards for, you know. The Pandavas also offered respects to Bhishma before returning to the camp. As they went, Yudhishthira said to Krishna, O Janardana, surely victory comes to a man through your grace, and defeat overtakes him through your wrath. You are our sole refuge. You assure your devotees of your protection. Nothing is wonderful for one who is taking shelter of you, O Madhava. Krishna replied, These words, O foremost of all the earth's rulers, could only have fallen from your lips. Feeling sure that they would soon attain victory, the Pandavas rested for the night while the Kauravas lay tossing in grief. Right, so we can understand here is that it's Krishna's grace on who wins and who loses, and the Lord always protects his devotees. So that's the essential point, is that he's come to remove the earth of its burden of those who are not interested in God consciousness, or even more than not interested, they're opposing God consciousness and making efforts to actually disturb God consciousness. They'll be removed, and then the devotees, in that way, the devotees are protected. But it's about the interaction with the devotees and making the attractive pastimes in which then devotees can hear after again and again, you know, and relish the wonderfulness between how Krishna interacts. So Krishna's making the point that, you know, O foremost of all the rulers, only this could be spoken by you. Chapter 13, Drona in Command. Dhritarashtra's pitiful voice echoed around his great chamber. How has Bhishma fallen? He who had arrows for teeth, a bow for a mouth, a sword for a tongue, that chastiser of foes who spread terror and destruction among the enemy ranks, as the sun destroys darkness, who was as invincible in battle as the mighty Indra, who could keep death itself under his control, how has he fallen? How did Shikhandi and Arjuna bring about his end? Right, because he can't see it's Krishna's desire. The demigods had that desire also, because the Vasus were there. He's the eighth of the Vasus, right? There's eight Vasus, and so they were all cursed to come and be born on Earth, you know. And then they got the blessings that they would be born to Ganga Devi, since she was also coming to Earth due to a curse. And so then, that way, then they would be born from a celestial, and then, but the arrangement was made that they would each, immediately after birth, Ganga would bring them down to the Ganga and place them in the Ganga, then they would just go back to the heavenly planets and resume their position. But still, they had to go through being born and all that kind of thing. And so then, Bhishma, who was known as Drona, of the Vasus, he being the leader, he was the one that was involved the most in the activities that disturbed, I think, the great sage. And so then he had cursed that they'll all be down and be born just enough to touch, but Bhishma will have to stay. So that's why he then, you know, lived for long. He was the grandsire of everyone. But at the same time, he was a brahmachari, so he didn't get involved in all those, the family affairs, so life would be more simple for him. And at the same time, they thought, it's time for you to come now, come back. And the demigods were there, and everything was auspicious. We saw the cool breezes blowing, because you saw before is that when something bad was going to happen, then you'd get all these inauspicious signs. But the departure of Bhishma, then this is a glorious thing, since he's a great devotee, and he'll just go. He'll go to the Lord, and he'll show how a personality goes to the Lord. And so then the nice cool breezes blew. Everything was very nice and peaceful, and everything like that. So Dhritarashtra is still thinking in the matter of auspicious and inauspicious. The king was inconsolable. Sanjaya was himself grieving, and he sat at Dhritarashtra's feet with his head bowed. Crying, the blind monarch continued, after destroying the enemy troops for 10 days, achieving the most difficult feats, he is now set like the sun. As a result of my evil counsels, that Skayana Bharata scattered an inexhaustible shower of arrows as Indra showers rains, killing in battle hundreds of thousands of warriors. He now lies on the bare ground like a great tree uprooted by the wind. How could he, whom even Parasuram could not master, that Atirata of boundless power, have been overcome in battle? O Sanjaya, surely nothing is wonderful in this world when I hear that Bhishma is fallen. Right, so he sees it in that poetic way, because they're also trained in all that, and so they know the language nicely. But the aspect is that his evil counsels, because he also agreed to the war, and he also, Bhishma was telling him, don't do this, but he was going against it. So then he's seeing Duryodhana, not so much, but Dhritarashtra sees. That's the problem. Dhritarashtra does have, he's known as a Rajarshi. He sees in the proper way. But when it comes to his son, then that's where he gets distracted and doesn't see properly. And he also points out that, as an Adirata, because you see Maharatras is always mentioned, but Adiratas are even greater than them. I think it mentions a Maharati can fight with 10,000 charioteer warriors, but an Adirati can fight with 60,000. So they're considerably greater. So that's why you see not everybody just comes and fights. So, Bhishma, Arjuna, I think Drona, they're Atiratis. That's why then, if Bhishma is going to fall, it's going to be the hand of an Atirati, right? As far as a warrior goes, he's the greatest warrior, so he should fall at the hand of the greatest. But more than that is being a... you have the aspect he's a celestial, so he'll fall at the hand of a celestial. But the topmost consideration is he is a pure devotee. He'll only fall at the hand of a pure devotee. The king asked Sanjaya to describe in detail how Bhishma had been brought down. Sanjaya had only told him the news of Bhishma's defeat and not the details of how it had come about. Dhritarashtra listened in horror as Sanjaya related the events leading up to Bhishma's fall. Tears sprang from Sanjaya's eyes as he envisioned the scene again, right? Because he was already, crying, just having told him he had fallen, let alone the details, right? When Sanjaya finished his description, Dhritarashtra again lamented, "Surely my heart is made of stone, since it does not shatter upon hearing this news. Truth, intelligence, and political wisdom existed immeasurably in the illustrious Bhishma. Who could have defeated him? Surely my sons are crying in grief now that he is gone, like men desiring to cross the ocean, but who see their boats sunk," right? Because, he always talked about Karna was going to be the main one, but it was actually Bhishma. "They must be plunged in woe. Our army must be like a panic-stricken herd of cattle deprived of its herdsmen." Right, so he sees the problem, and he sees that the bad position that he's put everyone in, and the greatness of Bhishma. But again, he just goes back to, he's not going to say, that they should, now see that maybe they should, stop and go for peace, or send a messenger to, because they just heard it at night. If someone rode all night on a single horse, or on those horses that can go very fast, or those special mules, I think, they can run for huge distances. They're so strong. And go and give a message that, stop this war, it's over. Because he's the king, he can say that, but that won't come up in the discussion. Because then it goes back to his son. So he sees the position and all that and his laments, but then he also sees where his attachment lies. When we have caused the death of our powerful father, the foremost of virtuous men, what use are our lives? Dhritarashtra sat in silence in the darkened chamber. His personal servants stood nearby, their chamaras hanging limply by their sides. The soft strains of mournful music could be heard along with the Brahmins' continuous chanting of Vedic prayers in the palace temple. After some minutes, the king asked Sanjaya to repeat the details of the battle. I desire to know of all the particulars of Bhishma's final day. Who fought by his side and who at his rear? What did my sons do to protect that hero? What other fighters took place as Bhishma faced the Pandavas? Without knowing every last detail, I shall not be able to rest, Sanjaya. Sanjaya described everything again. Dhritarashtra listened with rapt attention. When Sanjaya finished, it was almost morning. The king had no desire to go to his bed. He said, "Clearly, we cannot avoid death by any means. All-powerful time ultimately consumes all in this world. O Sanjaya, please tell me what my sons did after Bhishma's fall. Who did they select as their commander? How did they find the strength to continue?" Right. So again, it's just how the battle is going on, not, you know, what to do here. So here one may raise the point that what about the Pandavas, you know, because they also then, one of the points that in the discussion was that this victory has come about by Krishna's will, and so then they are going back, they're sleeping peacefully. And so you could say is, well, they're also just absorbed in the battle. But the point is they know it's Krishna's desire. That's why they're taking part. Because otherwise, if you're acting on the position like Duryodhana, who just wants the battle for his own personal means, you see in the beginning of the Gita, Arjuna considered his own personal means and thought that we shouldn't have a battle. But it was out of material consideration. It wasn't that Krishna wants to, he's come to remove the burden of the earth, so this is, you know, how it will go down. So their position is different. It's bringing out the glory of Krishna. As the sunrise approached, Sanjaya told the king what had happened at the end of the 10th day. Then both men left to perform their ablutions, Dhritarashtra being led away by his servants to his bath chamber. After their religious rituals and prayers, they returned to the hall, and Sanjaya began to describe the events of the 11th day. So he only had described that, and they had stopped there, but then he wanted to know what did they do after they went back to the camp. So then that was described, and that being described, then okay, now they could go take their bath. And then they come back and now hear what's the 11th day. After all the kings had left Bhishma, Karna quickly left his tent and rode across the battlefield. As the moon rose in the eastern sky, he picked his way on his red charger through the eerily lit scenes of destruction. Vultures flapped into the air, and hyenas growled as he made his way towards the spot where Bhishma lay on his bed of arrows. It was easy to find. 100 warriors surrounded him and had lit torches to keep the animals away. Right, so when they left guards there, so 100 soldiers. So 100 people in a circle means it's not even like, you know, you don't leave two or three guys and then you have to sit there and fight off the jackals and vultures, you know, right there. You know, they have a good contingency, and so the animals know, stay away, because that much fire in one place, they're not going to go to that place. They'll stay away. Karna dismounted and fell at Bhishma's feet. He spoke in a choked voice. "I am Radha's son, O foremost of Kurus. I am he upon whom you always look with enmity." Bhishma opened his eyes and turned towards Karna. Dismissing the guards, he told him to come closer. Right, so there's going to be all the guards there, but there's also going to be some that are right next to him. So there's 100 people that are there. Doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be around him and just making sure nothing happens. He spoke affectionately. "Come, dear son, you were always my opponent because you sought always to outdo me. If you had not come here, then all would have not fared well for you." Right? Because he always wanted to outdo, and then, you know, if he had just gone on like, okay, now the old man's dead, now I can do my thing, then he would not have got the blessings of Bhishma. Bhishma felt no anger towards Karna. He had reprimanded him only out of genuine concern for him. Right? Because if you're dealing with a junior, you're going to see that they do the right thing. Otherwise, they won't grow up nicely. Like you see, Mother Jashoda was desiring to chastise Krishna so that he would grow up to be a, you know, a nice person, and, you know, so that his life would go smoothly and successfully. The old Kuru chief knew who Karna was and had always desired his welfare, right? So he knew actually his position. So that's why he was always trying to chastise him, and that, you know, him saying, oh, he's Sutta and all that, because he's acting like one. Why doesn't he act like the Kshatriya king, the son of the, you know, the son of the sun god himself, and then with the Pandavas, then, you know, rule very nicely? But no, he decided to act like a Sutta son and take that and behave in a way that was, you know, distasteful to please Duryodhana. He lifted his head slightly. Oh, mighty armed one, you are the son of Kunti, not Radha. Adirata is not your father. The mighty sun god sired you. Oh, hero, this I have heard from both Narada and Vyas. You cannot be false. Oh, child, I bear you no malice. I spoke harshly only to check you, right? Because he's, in other words, being such a glorious position and line, you know, he's also a Pandava, technically. So he's going off in this other direction. So he's speaking harshly just to try to bring him back, make him thought. Because if he had, you know, thought about all this and that and went to Bhishma and said, oh, you know, but this and that, and I think like this and that, then he could have instructed him. But he never. He never went to Bhishma. Seeing that you would abuse the Pandavas for no reason at all, I tried to curb a behavior that would lead only to your own grief. Right? Because they're all cousins, and so then they're all, are here, in this case, brothers. He's just trying to get them to live peacefully together. Karna knelt by Bhishma's side, his eyes dim with tears in the sight of Bhishma's condition. Despite their many arguments, he had always respected the grandfather. He could not deny Bhishma's nobility and power, and he knew his words were never malicious, even if they were hard to accept. Bhishma closed his eyes in pain, then continued, O Karna, your birth was attended with sin. Thus your intellect has always been perverted through no fault of your own. For this reason I tried to correct you in the assembly of Kshatriyas. Yet your prowess and might are equal to those of Arjuna. You are devoted to the Brahmins, attached to the duties of your order, are in no way inferior to a celestial. Right? Because he's also born to a celestial. Today I relinquish any wrath I formerly felt for you. If you wish to do me good, then join with your brothers, the Pandavas. Let the hostilities cease with my fall. Along with Duryodhana, be reconciled with the Pandavas, and let us see all the world's kings freed from anxiety and danger. Right. So he's saying, yes. Now, if you want to do good to me, then knowing who you are, knowing, you know, the position, knowing how things go, if he can fall, everybody can fall. So he's saying, you know, therefore, why not live together? And all these kings that are here, they're there to fight. Their Kshatriyas are going to fight till the end. But you could relieve them the anxiety that they don't have to, you know, die at this time. They can rule their kingdoms, and then when they're older, they can go to the forest and his vanaprastas leave, or, you know, there'll be another battle. So, you know, so much can be reconciled here, you know. So then that's, you know, Bhishma's request. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.